In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. So today is Renewal Tuesday, or Bright Tuesday and Bright Week as we know it. And as we celebrated yesterday, the feast of St. George, the great martyr, today also we celebrate the feast of St. Mark, the evangelist and the gospel writer. And we do so because both of these feast days, these celebrations, the memory of these two saints fall during Great Lent or in some instances Holy Week. And so they are transferred or translated, as it's known, to St. George on Monday and St. Mark on Tuesday. And so we get an opportunity to offer our prayers, and as you heard in the hymns of the Orthros especially and the Kondakion yesterday and today, to hear about these saints and about their lives and about their martyrdoms. It's also on Bright Tuesday, the feast day of some saints who were martyred in recent times, I should say, 500 years ago, recent times. Saints Raphael, Nicholas, and Irene, and those with them, is the way the Synaxarion says. And I've heard about these saints. Father Peter reminded me that at Holy Cross School of Theology, where we both went to school, they have the relics of these saints there to venerate. And I'd forgotten about that. And I really had not paid much attention, honestly, to their story, except when I was preparing for today. And it's a beautiful but also a difficult story, because it's more recent, so there is more description as to their martyrdom. And so it goes into great detail in some of the Synaxaria that I read, the description of their lives. And they were from the island. At the time it was known as Lesbos, now it's known as Mytilene, which is very close to Turkey, present-day Turkey. And in 1453, I think it was, or 60-something, around that time, when the Ottomans began to, their conquest of Byzantium, came to this island, and they were in a monastery there in a place called Ermes, right? Pendeli. Okay, it was up there. It was up in the mountains. And I knew Sula would help me with some of the things here, so it's quite all right. There's just a few of us here, so we can talk about this. I actually heard this from some of our parishioners who are from the island about this as well, about how... But it was some 500 years later. They were martyred on Bright Tuesday. So Pascha just happened. Imagine that. The celebration of the feast of Pascha, the resurrection of our Lord, 2 days later, just as we are here in the church, they came into the church, of course, desecrated the church, and then, in gruesome description, martyred these saints and others with them. But no one knew about this for 500 years. Until in the late 50s, I believe it was, it says 1959, I think is what it said, some of the people in that town were at this chapel that had been restored and started to see visions of Saints Raphael and Nicholas and Irene, and who appeared to them and told them, and it wasn't just the few people, it was several people, a number of people in the town. And just as our Lord appeared to others after his resurrection, they appeared to these folks and shared with them their story and their martyrdom. And so it wasn't until 500 years later that this story of their martyrdom was known. And so it's really just recent that they were, if you can use the word, canonized, or recognized, rather, as saints of the church. And so we also commemorate them today. St. Mark, also Pelagia, and others.
Of Tarsus.
Mm-hmm. And others as well today. So I say all these things because we go through Holy Week, and there's a lot packed in Holy Week, and then we get to Bright Week, and take a little breath. But the story, and more than the story, the truth of the resurrection of our Lord permeates our lives. And for us, the celebration may end Sunday afternoon after we all get a chance to eat and spend time with our families, but the glory of the resurrection never ends. And we hear from one of the hymns, it's the eighth day. It's the never-ending day. And His resurrection is for us and with us all the time for the rest of our lives. And so we remember these saints and beyond our life into eternal life. So we remember these saints, and they help us, their stories and their lives and their witnesses, to remain focused. Even after this 40 days and 2 days and 7 days, to remain focused. And even in the epistle we just heard from the Acts of the Apostles, where the prophecy of Joel so many hundreds of years earlier was remembered and recited. We're looking forward to Pentecost, to the receipt of the Holy Spirit. But back to St. Mark for a moment. So St. Mark, the known as John Mark, he was a Jew by ethnicity, so his Jewish name, and he was also later in the area of Rome, so he was known by his Roman name, Mark, was not one of the original 12 and then 11 apostles. Just like Luke, he was one of the wider group, the 70, and we heard that in the gospel just a moment ago from Luke. I always wondered why we didn't hear from the Gospel of Mark on the feast day of Mark, but we hear from the Gospel of Luke. But that's okay, because Mark and Luke have some similarities, but they also have differences. Just as all the gospel writers had differences, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can even see it in their gospels. Mark's gospel was written in Greek. It was the earliest, or it's believed to be the earliest of the four gospels. And it was written, as I read, for the Gentile converts, but it was written in such a way as to connect the worship of the Jews that became Christians, that were accepting of the Messiah, for them to understand. But you could even notice a difference in the Greek between Luke and Matthew and also Mark. And I'm sure Father Peter and I have never talked about this, but the Greek's a little harder. Those words are a little more difficult. And I don't know if it's just because, for whatever reason, in the way he wrote it, it was such a way that his knowledge and understanding was expressed in some of these in Greek that was a little more difficult to read. So it's the shortest gospel of the four. But one of the important aspects is that it reflects, just like Scripture does, the individuality of each of the writers. But all of the message is about the good news, the Evangelion, the good news of Jesus Christ, which is why He came, who He was, what He did when He was here on this earth, and ultimately salvation that He brought and offered to the world, and restoration to His Father and to God, and also the descent upon the church of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which would and has empowered the followers of Christ from then until this day and beyond. And so this is the Gospel of Mark. And what we know about him is, tradition tells us, he wrote about it, but he didn't identify himself, that he was, as a boy there during the time of prior to Jesus' arrest. And it says that one verse where he ran away and they seized the linen tunic he had and he slipped out of it and was without any clothes and ran away. Tradition tells us that's Mark. Also tradition says that the place where the mystical supper took place in the upper room was in his mother's home, who was also known as Mary. A lot of Marys at that time. And then also later there were several gatherings, post-resurrectional gatherings by the 12, the 70, and the followers of Christ in, among other places, the very same house that his tradition tells us was his house. We also know that he was with Paul and Barnabas in one of the early missionary journeys. But then when he wanted to participate, or Barnabas actually wanted him to go on a subsequent missionary journey, Paul said no. In effect, he wasn't ready. He just wasn't ready or mature enough to be part of that missionary journey. But instead of the end of the story for Mark, it wasn't, because he became, as we heard in the Apolitikion of Mark, he was a companion of St. Peter. And in fact, his gospel reflects the writings of Peter as well, the epistle of Peter and some of the other writings of Peter. He was under Peter's tutelage, if you will. He was a disciple of his. And so the kind of message and writing of Peter is also reflected in Mark. He, as I said, his gospel was we understand to be the first one written between 60 and 70 AD. And he, after leaving Rome, went to the area that's kind of in present-day Libya in northern Africa. Alexandria is where he established his missionary work, and then ultimately was martyred in Alexandria, in that area, and is the patron saint of the Coptic Egyptian Orthodox Church. And he also, from Rome, went through Venice, so tradition tells us the church in Venice also sees him as their patron saint as well, which is today where most, I think, of his relics are in a church in, I think it's, well, San Marco is the name of it, in Venice. And then some of his relics were gifted, if you will, by the Catholic Church to the Coptic Orthodox Church in Alexandria. So Mark, a couple of things about it that I said last, a couple of years ago, I remember, and my saint and Carl's as well and others, I think about this often because I think about it in my own life. One of the things about Mark that was a bit unique, only because of one of the gospel writers, one of the evangelists, is that he wasn't quite ready when he thought he was, maybe, to begin his ministry. Even though he was most likely around the Lord when he was a young boy, and certainly around the apostles and the 70, himself being one of them later, it's obvious that Paul didn't think he was quite ready to begin his missionary activity. But he stayed true to the truth, and he later obviously became not only a missionary and a martyr, but one of the four writers of the Gospels that is about our Lord, the good news of Jesus Christ that we have today. And his gift was writing. His gift was witnessing and expressing the good news of Jesus Christ. But for us, each and every one of us, we have gifts, and we heard this in the epistle of Paul just a few weeks ago, maybe about a week and a half ago, about the gifts that each and every one of us has. And what we should take from Mark and even from Raphael and Nicholas and Irene and all the saints is staying true to the truth, of the good news of Jesus Christ, which is salvation, even to the point of offering their lives in martyrdom and offering their lives in service to spreading the gospel. And we are also called, each and every one of us, to do the very same thing today. However, those gifts that we have are expressed. To some, it is in the ordained ministry, but to many, it's not. That does not mean that those gifts are any lesser, or I should say, not equally as important, because ultimately, all of us are called to be just like Mark and Peter and Paul and Luke and Matthew and John and all the 70 and the 200 and everyone that were witnesses to the resurrection themselves, or were evangelized themselves, who received the message and then took the message and themselves took it out to the world. And one last thing I will say is, it struck me when I think Sula was the one who chanted one of the hymns today of the Apolitikia when we came out for the small entrance, and or not the small entrance, when we before the gospel, was the Mary and the women who were there after his resurrection and went to the tomb. And the angel said, run and proclaim about the good news. Don't just take your time or when you get around to it, but run and proclaim the good news of salvation. So we should not delay. We should certainly, figuratively, we should run to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to wherever we are. It's not something that can wait until tomorrow or next week or when we get around to it in our lives. We still have our lives. We each have our daily tasks and our daily duties. But even in those, we should with haste preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is, his glorious resurrection and salvation has come to all the world. So may our Lord, our resurrected Lord, strengthen each and every one of us to do that very thing, to run with haste and proclaim the good news of his resurrection and salvation. Amen.